Good morning. It is indeed a good morning because we are gathered together and God is in this place. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Good morning. Welcome to West End United Methodist Church. If you're a visitor among us, we're especially glad that you're here. We invite you to register your attendance in the registration pads at the end of each pew and pass them down the row. Introduce yourself to someone you don't know. And you may find that they're a member and you're a member and you just have never met before. I have a few announcements this morning to share with you. The Promise for Haiti concert will feature Claudia Nygaard, and that concert will happen on January 31st at 4 p.m. in the Fourth Story Theater. Tickets are available in Reed Hall following the service. This coming Wednesday night, a few of our Bible studies are beginning. There is an insert in the bulletin. I encourage you to look at that and check out those studies. There are a couple of orientation sessions happening, and then the studies will begin. See the insert in your bulletin for all those details. Tonight at 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary, we will have a Taze service. That service is a time of reflection and prayer and healing and hope. So you're encouraged to come to that at 5 p.m. Our children's choirs are still accepting new members. If you have a child between the ages of 4 and 12, you're encouraged to contact Andrew Reisinger to find out more information about the children's choirs. Finally, our church offices will be closed tomorrow in honor of MLK Day. So if you have a pastoral emergency, feel free to call the church number. That will forward you to a voicemail, and the pastoral staff will receive that voicemail and can be in touch with you. But the church offices will be closed tomorrow. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Can you hear it? The Holy Spirit is in this place.
God's faithful love is priceless. Let us feast at your house and drink from the river of pure joy.
Within you, O God, is the spring of life.
Let us be present in your light so we may see the light. Let us confess our sins so the light of God's mercy might illumine us as we pray in one voice, saying, if we are to have any hope transforming God, we must face the reality of our lives, putting a name to our failings. You hand us a bouquet of gifts, but we let them wither by not placing them in your living water. You call us to speak out for those who live in the corners and cupboards of our world, but we believe our silence is the best way to help them. We listen to those who tell us that to trust in you is a sign of weakness, rather than listening to your invitation to hope in you. Forgive us and fill us with your mercy, God of peace. Gift us so we may respond to those opportunities to serve your people. This is the good news. You are God's delight. You are God's joy. You are God's beloved. God will not remain silent, but will call you by name. From the farthest corners of heaven to this very place, from God's heart to ours, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Oh, Lord,
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, James William Wade and Laura Elizabeth Wade bring their son, Garrett Thomas Wade, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Help if I have my God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Laura and Jim, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? So say I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say I do.
I do.
Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him, that he may be a true disciple, lost in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Now pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child? Garrett Thomas. You'll go back to them in just a second. I'm going to put a little water on your head, just a little bit. Garrett Thomas, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Garrett Thomas, the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born of water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. Now you we get to go back to Mom. Perfect. Yay, home. Good. And you'll walk with me to the center.
Will the congregation please stand and face Garrett Thomas? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Garrett Thomas to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Garrett Thomas, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you and the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Join me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Epistle to the Corinthians. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. The Word of God. for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Welcome. If anybody else wants to come down and join us, you're welcome.
So I have a confession. I am not a morning person. Do you all know what that means? That means when I wake up in the morning, it takes me a long time to get out of bed, especially in the wintertime when your sheets are so warm. Do you ever wake up in the morning and you stretch, trying to get waking up, and you wiggle your fingers and toes? No. Like, no, I don't do that. But maybe you're hungry or you have to go to the bathroom and the light's on and your eyes are waking up. Yeah. So anyways, waking up, though, in the morning has more to do with just having your eyes open. Being awake throughout your day means that your eyes are open and you're seeing things. It means that your ears are open and you're listening to different people. It means that your mouths, maybe you're talking, but that you're maybe saying good things or participating in conversations that you're in. It means that your hands are involved. Being awake is more than just having your eyes open. And my sermon is about that this morning. So even on those days, especially when it's cold and it's hard to wake up, think about how when we're awake all day, we're able to see God in the world. All right? Okay. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day and this opportunity to wake up this morning, this opportunity to be together. Thank you for all the moments of our lives and how special they are because you are involved in them. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. All right.
One of my favorite parts of the week when school is in session is after the late service, we have lunch with the college students. I love eating lunch with the college students. We mostly just talk about our days and what's going on in our lives, and that opens up a lot of conversation for other things. Some days we talk about how God's involved in that, and then sometimes I'll have conversations about vocation. That sort of college student question of, what are we doing with our lives? I read an article this week, actually, that had some great things to say about those questions that we ask college students. The article is called Stop Asking Students the Wrong Questions, and it's by Tim Elmore. And in it, his whole point is that frequently we ask people about their vocation, and when we do, it's about their individual selves. It doesn't necessarily involve the community, the common good, and that the questions that we ask people about what you're doing with your lives should involve the community. So he says, stop asking students what they're majoring in and start asking, what problem do you want to solve? Stop asking students, what do you want out of life? And start asking, what is life asking of you? Stop asking, how much money do you want to make? And start asking, what do you have to give? Stop asking, what do you possess inside? And start asking, what are the needs and opportunities around you? These questions can still be incredibly overwhelming, whether you're 20 or 40 or 60 or 80 or 105. We still have to live these questions with our lives. Yet these questions wake us up to the needs in the world and the gifts that we have to offer. Paul gave his teaching in 1 Corinthians about spiritual gifts to a church that were arguing over who had the best gifts. Was speaking in tongues better than discernment of spirits? Was prophesy better than wisdom? They were debating about who was best and who was most effective. And Paul had a message for them. It is the same Spirit. The one and the same Spirit. The one Spirit. He says it over and over again, saying, it's all equal, it's all the same. We sometimes get caught up in the gifts as well, wondering what tongues are. And I think the gifts are important, but again, it is about the one and the same Spirit working for the common good. I think sometimes we might experience the opposite of the Church of Corinth, though. Do we really recognize our own spiritual giftedness? Do we really believe that the Holy Spirit will empower us to work for the common good? Today, I wonder if we know how gifted the Spirit makes us. Parker Palmer, you've heard me mention him once before. He's a Quaker teacher and preacher. He says, we arrive in this world with birthright gifts. Then we spend the first half of our lives abandoning them or letting others disabuse us of them. Then, if we are awake and aware and able to admit our loss, we spend the second half trying to recover and reclaim the gifts we once possessed. Along with it, he quotes a Hasidic rabbi, Zusa. When I'm an old man, Rabbi Zusa says, in the coming world, they will not ask me, why were you not Moses? They will ask me, why were you not Zusa? What is life asking of you? In trying to answer this question and taking seriously Palmer's assessment, the words that come to me are awake and aware. As you know, West End UMC has invited each one of you on a pilgrimage. Yes, Michael and Margaret and some others from West End are currently on a pilgrimage in the Holy Land, walking around. But I'm not talking about traveling halfway across the world. I'm talking about your daily lives, right here, right now. I think a lot of us live our lives as tourists. We take a selfie, we've been there, we've done that, we got the t-shirt, half awake, or maybe half asleep to what's going on around us. When we walk as pilgrims, We are engaged with our hearts and our minds and our bodies and what's going on. We're awake to what's going on, and we're aware of the people around us, the circumstances, and maybe the need for us to reach out or let go. Paul might not have described his journeys as a pilgrimage, but he was a pilgrim. In the beginning of our scripture passage, he says, "By the Holy Spirit is the only way that we can confess that Jesus is Lord." This is the basic first Christian profession of faith: Jesus is Lord. And for Paul to make this statement, it would have been political as well, because in the Roman Empire, Caesar was Lord. Paul confesses that Jesus is Lord. It would have been like treason, and it didn't just affect his religious moments when he was preaching. It affected his entire life. At the baptism this morning and the one at the early service, we confess that Jesus is Lord. I don't have to tell you how sacred these moments are. You can see it in the infants and the parents and all of our faces. It's truly a moment where the divine comes down and meets with us. Yet we leave this beautiful place and the sacredness seems to dissipate. We've learned to divide our lives between secular and sacred. Sacred moment, we pray before our meal. The secular moment, the conversation with the waiter. The sacred moments of morning or evening prayer. The secular moments of getting ready and drinking your cup of coffee. Why do we make our lives a dichotomy of sacred and secular? To profess that Jesus is Lord has been, from the beginning of its profession, to be a whole decision that regulates all of our daily lives. There are not two value systems. There is only one. For a pilgrim, every moment has an opportunity to be sacred and is infused with the Holy Spirit. I love the work of novelist Marilynne Robinson. She also writes amazing essays. The first book that I read of hers is Gilead. Maybe some of you have read it. It won a Pulitzer Prize. And it is, the main character of it is a man named John Ames, and he is a pastor of a small town in Iowa, Gilead, Iowa. And it's basically all of his reflections throughout his life written to his son. And one of his most meaningful reflections is watching his son at play. I'd like to read it to you. "You and Tobias are hopping around in the sprinkler. The sprinkler is a magnificent invention because it exposes raindrops to sunshine. That does occur in nature, but it's rare. When I was in seminary, I used to go sometimes to watch the Baptists down by the river. It was something to see, the preacher lifting the one who was being baptized up out of the water, and the water pouring off the garments and the hair. It did look like a little birth or resurrection. For us, the water just heightens the touch of the pastor's hand on the sweet bones of the head, sort of like making an electrical connection. I've always loved to baptize people, though I have sometimes wished there were more shimmer and splash involved in the way we go about it. Well, but you two are dancing around in your iridescent little downpour, whooping and stomping, as sane people ought to do when they encounter a thing as miraculous as water." Robinson's characters are pilgrims. They are awake and aware of the spirit around them. Ames sees the child whooping and stomping in the water, and he experiences baptism. The sacred moments extend, and the confession that Jesus is Lord is in all things. Tomorrow we will celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. He was a poet and a prophet, and he knew how to use his gifts for the common good. I want to highlight one of his sermons. In 1967, on Christmas Eve, he did a sermon on peace, and he said this: It all really boils down to this, that life is interrelated. We are all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied into a single garment of destiny." After he says this, he talks about our morning routines. And he talks about how much we depend on others to make that happen. The sponge that you use was from a Pacific North Islander, the soap from a Frenchman, the coffee in your cup from South America, the cup, the Chinese. He says, before you finish breakfast, you'll depend on more than half the world. He goes on to say, we aren't going to have peace on earth until we recognize this basic fact of the interrelated structure of all reality. Our original giftedness is connected to the giftedness of others in the most mundane moments of life. Recognizing that is part of what makes every moment sacred. The Spirit is working and moving. May we wake up and be a part of it. When I think about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I sometimes feel small and a little overwhelmed at how I could use my gifts for the common good. But Paul reminds all of us, it is the one Spirit, the one and the same Spirit, the one Spirit that is in all of us. May it be so. Amen. We speak our faith through our confessions. If you'll stand with me and join in 883 in your hymnal, we'll recite the United Church of Canada's Creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. We are always with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us this day. If you're a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope that you'll join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, through the doors to your right following the service. If you're a college student, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and a time of fellowship and faith discussions in room 315, also known as the Fireplace Lounge, just following this service. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments that you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for you to write your prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or if they're confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know following this service. Today we extend our sympathy to the family and friends of Christopher G. McGee, who died on Thursday, January 14th. A celebration of life service will be held this afternoon at 4 p.m. at Hermitage Funeral Home in Old Hickory, Tennessee. Visitation will precede that service beginning at 3 p.m. Among Chris's survivors is his mother, Betty McGee. Today we celebrate with Ruth Close, who is turning 105. Pretty remarkable. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of many gifts, we give you thanks for this community, for the diversity of gifts among your people, and for the ways in which those gifts are shared for the building up of your kingdom. We are grateful, O God, for the Holy Spirit's work among us, and for the ways in which it inspires and empowers us to offer our gifts back to you. As we, your pilgrim people, journey with you throughout this year, open our eyes that we might not only recognize our own gifts, but also see the ways in which you have gifted others. This morning, O God, we remember those who are struggling. We name them in our hearts and lift them up before you now in silence. We lift up to you those with financial concerns. We lift up those with relationship concerns. We lift up those with health concerns. And we lift up those who are grieving. O God, even as we remember those individuals who are in need of your healing and guiding presence, so also we remember the places throughout the world where your justice and peace are needed. So in silence, we lift up to you those places where there is war and violence. We lift up those places where there is hunger and poverty. We lift up those places where sickness and disease are widespread. And we lift up those places where racism and xenophobia cause your people to live in fear. O great physician, bring healing and wholeness to your world. Make us co-workers with you in seeking justice for all people, and help us to be aware of the ways in which our gifts might offer hope and peace to our fellow travelers on the way. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As God's gifted people, may we offer our gifts back to God.
now go forth in the name of the Creator, confessing that Jesus is Lord, and encountering the Holy Spirit in all moments of life. Amen.